Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports today is upon us. It's Waiver Wire Wednesday, so we'll dive into some potential players that you should be picking up in your fantasy league. And this is usually, for most leagues, the last week you can make trades in fantasy football. So we'll dive into that as well as Fantasy Sports Today. Hour number two starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. To White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl!
And this is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitch, Joe Pisapia with you. It is 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 o'clock on the West Coast, but it's always time to talk fantasy and reality here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe with you for hour number two. Sean Guastamacchia is producing this show. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Craig DeFrancia previously, and both Joe and I are big TV and movie buffs. I think that for me, unfortunately, it's been a lot of kids movies for the last decade for me. But if something comes on Netflix or on television, I'm able to watch it. And if there's a must-see flick, then I will go check it out. And Joe, for you, there's a must-see flick, I guess, coming out here in a couple of years.
Well, I mean, I don't have a must-see. I just don't know if I'm ready for another Batman franchise, because the big buzz on Twitter yesterday was they added two more people to this already growing, ballooning list of stars for this The Batman movie with Robert Pattinson. And I really enjoyed the Christian Bale Batman films. I thought they were terrific. I think that Heath Ledger's performance in that film is one of the all-time great performances by any actor in any film, period. Not superhero movie or anything else, just plain old acting. And I know there's a lot of hubbub here with the whole Robert Pattinson being Batman. A lot of people hated the fact Ben Affleck was Batman. I got to admit, I did not see any of those, but I did really like the Christian Bale one.
I agree. I like those a lot, too.
The third one was a little long. I thought the third one was a little kind of
the third one with the Joker?
No, the third one's the one with Bane, with Tom Hardy, who I also adore.
Oh, that was a good movie, too. Yeah,
it was a little long in the tooth, but good. Good, nonetheless. And now you got a whole new group here. So you got Robert Pattinson playing Batman, which I'm actually okay. I think Pattinson's a pretty good actor. You got Matthew McConaughey playing Two-Face. So you got a bunch of, you got not one, not two, not three, but four villains in this movie. So I don't know. Are they all like banding together? Is this like the Lego Batman movie? I don't know what's going on here with these guys. But you got McConaughey playing Two-Face.
Yeah.
I like McConaughey. You got pretty boy Colin Farrell playing the Penguin, who I don't understand that. Last Penguin was Danny DeVito. Now we've jumped to Colin Farrell. And this is why people who look like me don't get jobs in the acting world anymore.
Sorry.
Just saying.
Maybe you're the next Penguin then.
I will gladly play the Penguin in this Batman film. That sounds like a great time. I will say this. Colin Farrell, hilarious in Horrible Bosses. Did you ever see that movie?
I did not.
Oh, you would like that. You have a dark sense of humor. You would enjoy Horrible Bosses. It's where Jason Bateman and...
I think I probably saw some of it, but I couldn't tell you anything.
So they all make a deal to basically kill each other's boss because they all hate the people they work for.
Okay.
Hilarious. Very funny. And Colin Farrell is very funny in that. And it's very self-deprecating.
I just think that there's always a new group of young kids or you know, teenagers, millennial types, Joe, that are, they're always going to want to see the Spider-Man and Batman and these kind of movies. I don't think they're ever going to go away. I think they're just going to keep redoing them over and over again. When you and I are you know, let's say 50 years old, that's closer for me, but let's say 55 years old, I think there'll be another franchise with Batman and another franchise with Spider-Man.
Well, this is because people don't read. All they do is keep, you know, nobody writes books or reads books anymore, basically. So this is what happens. We have the comic book stories, and they're great stories. I got my kids to tell you this summer, I made a commitment with the kids. I said, listen, you watch Guardians of the Galaxy. If you like Guardians of the Galaxy, we're going to do the Marvel Universe this whole summer. That'll be our thing. Everybody will be tired. We'll be out in the pool all the time. You'll come in at night. We'll watch one of these movies. And we did, and they freaked out. They love them. That's all they want for Christmas is to have them all on Blu-ray. That's what they want, right? So I'm all for them, and some of them are really good. I just feel like the Batman one, again, it's like, oh, here we go again. You start it all up. I do like Jeffrey Wright playing Commissioner Gordon. I like Andy Serkis playing Alfred. Or do you know who Andy Serkis is? I'm not sure if you know who
that is.
Yes. Gollum from Lord of the Rings, for those who don't know.
It's my precious. Right. Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. Okay, that's fine. Paul Dano is the Riddler. I just also don't like when they pile too many characters or villains into a movie. Even in the second Batman of the Christian Bale saga, I really felt like they kind of did a disservice to Aaron Eckhart playing Two-Face. Like, they killed him off in that movie. I thought he was going to be the villain in the next movie, or at least carry over. They basically gave him like an
hour. That is weird that they
didn't
put him at all into the third after the ending where he had the coin and his face is all jacked up. Yeah, I agree. I don't know why that
is a waste. Curious. Wonderful actor, by the way. Also went to school with myself and Craig DeFrancia. So how about that?
Okay, cool.
He's part of our alumni at the same acting school. So look at that. So obviously very successful people, right?
There you go.
Included. But you
had the most success of all.
Here I am every week talking with you. I mean, so huge. I would say yes.
Yeah, you know, for me, the way that this has played out is, and again, you know, kudos to you for getting your daughter is involved in these movies. My daughter's not particularly interested in it, and you know, again,
has she seen Thor?
Tried to watch one of them and didn't really.
I don't know. You let her watch Chris Hemsworth for a couple hours, she might change her tune.
Nah, she's not into it. So I'm not going to push her, and maybe my son eventually will be into it, but as of right now, he's 7. I think he's still, you know, he's a little too young for it. He doesn't love going to the movies.
Well, my youngest is 7. She loves them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. She's a rough and tumble kind of gal, so that might be.
Believe it or not, this past Sunday, I went out for the first time ever and bought an Xbox.
Ooh.
We have never had anything in this house like that. We've never had a PlayStation, Xbox, nothing. I mean, we're going back of me playing PlayStation 20 years ago was the last time we had it. And there was this one game that my son wanted. And I told him that this could be like his Hanukkah slash, you know, whatever present.
What was it?
We went out and got it. I don't know if you're aware, but there is this billionaire kid that does these YouTube videos. His name is Ryan. Yeah, Ryan. Ryan came out with an Xbox game, and it's like a Mario Kart game for Ryan, and he really wanted it. And so we went out and got it.
What do we live in? Where are we right now?
He likes the YouTubers. My son likes the
YouTubers. No, I know. See, that's my kids. My kids have no idea what any of that is, really, luckily.
Well, there you go. It's the opposite thing. Yeah, my son likes the people who stream the games. He likes to see.
He likes watching other people play video games than play them himself.
But no, he likes playing them too, but he likes to see like the tricks and the secrets and.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so from the eye, and mostly he's on the tablet, you know, the iPad. So like he'll download the game and play, and then based on the secrets that they show, like he tries to see if he can do the same thing. And so he holds the YouTubers in this like in the high esteem of
that. Like the heroes. Yeah.
And look, he'll sit down and watch a movie for sure. No doubt. I mean, we watched The Sandlot flying back from New York. He sat and loved it, watched the whole entire thing.
That is like one of my kids' favorite movies. I've seen that movie 100 times probably. I don't know. It's crazy.
So
they love it.
So he's into it, but it's the movie thing is not his thing.
I'll recommend to you, because I know we got to hit the break. I recommend to you the Nintendo Switch. You can play along together. You can also, for $10 a year, you get a lot of the old school Nintendo games that just pop up on there that you could play, like Mario and Tecmo Bowl and all this stuff. So it's fun for the adults, but also it's a lot of interacting games where like you can all play 4 people at a time or 3 people at a time. Switch is excellent if you have little kids. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I listen, that's the direction I wanted him to go, was Nintendo, but he was just hell-bent on this
Xbox. Well, sometimes parents know better. You know, get him the Xbox thing, and you pick up a Switch here for his birthday, and then you have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'd like to keep it the way it is. I don't want to get crazy with the game. Like, we were really against doing this for a long period of time, but...
the Switch is portable, which is great, too. You take it with you, you go, or you're, like, on the plane, or you're on somewhere. It's very useful. We took it to Florida with us when we went last year. It's very, very good.
Florida man. Take switch to Florida. There it is. All right. We got to take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return next, we're going to talk about some decent trade acquisitions for 2020 in fantasy, maybe even for this year. So don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jadi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo, is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads, serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcast and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe with you here on the show. It's Wednesday, so coming up in an hour from now, Dr. Roto is going to give you all the updates as far as who is in and who is out on the field. We'll start to get some updates as far as fantasy goes. This morning, Joe Staley was announced. There's a chance that he is going to be able to play in what looks like, to me, the best Monday Night Football game of the year. It really does. Seattle-San Francisco. I mean, maybe it will be. I hope so. It definitely looks like, on paper, a good Monday Night game for the first time since when. I don't know. I don't even remember. But a game that I may actually be interested in watching on Monday night. So that's coming up. And Staley's on the field. Boy, 49ers, I think they got a good shot in this one. As far as Dynasty League right now, and I'm in this position too, I'm you know, kind of playing for next year, but unfortunately I've been playing for next year now for 3 years. I got a ton of picks. I'm hoping that I do better in this draft and get some picks that I can actually play in a year or two, because in my Dynasty League, Joe, Isabella's, you know, the one guy that I'm essentially sitting on, him and Benny Snell. They're more or less for zeros this year. So, I'm waiting for them for next year. But who are some players that you think potentially could fare better next year than they are faring this year?
Well, I tried to go to the laboratory and really kind of dig deep here and think about what's a situation where some guys might be available for whatever reason, injury, underperformance, you know, a host of other reasons where you could probably get them and they might have some use on the cheap this year, but really more for next year, really more for, hey, you know, maybe you throw a fourth round pick or something like that and you pick up one of these guys and you're not going to take a zero with them. And let's start with the quarterbacks. The first one is Derek Carr, who I don't think people have realized that Derek Carr's played pretty well this year. In the last couple of weeks, he's played very well. And in a situation where we're looking at some age at the quarterback position with the Bradys and Breezes and Roethlisbergers of the world, we're going to get a ton of turnover. A lot of guys who are going to be in new systems for the first time. So even if they're familiar quarterbacks, they're going to be dealing with new OCs and new schemes and new stuff. Derek Carr will not. Derek Carr will still be another year with John Gruden. Derek Carr has a really good running back in Jacobs, a great tight end in Waller, And my guess is they will continue to fill out that wide receiving core for him in 2020. And all things, I think, are looking very bright for him. So he's number one on that list of quarterbacks. Number two is Jacoby Brissett, who, again, has played very well this year, especially in a tough circumstance. And I think with a full offseason with the ones running things the way he should in practice in the preseason, I think you're really looking forward to Jacoby Brissett being a guy that can be a really good second quarterback in a super flex league. And the third guy for me, a quarterback, is Teddy Bridgewater. So I think no matter what, Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a job somewhere. And he's probably not a QB1. But as a QB2 and a super flex, that's another guy. You pick him up now. Right now, he has zero use to somebody because Drew Brees is back. But he might have a ton of use next year. And I think if you're able to make a deal, we say, hey, take this player, help go help you win this year. Give me Teddy Bridgewater back for 2020. I think that's a good trade. Do you have any other quarterbacks in your mind that kind of fit this bill? Is it a Cam Newton? Is it somebody else like that?
Yeah, I think that this is a pretty good list that you put together. I am curious to see, and it was one game and it was the Browns. But again, when Brandon Allen was in college and he was in Brett Bielema's system at Arkansas, he was pretty good, man. Like he was a good quarterback.
Hey, I streamed him and got a W last week, man.
But then again, he was a disaster pretty much after that. And this is why, like, when everyone was on Mason Rudolph, like the tweets that came out when Mason Rudolph was a starter, I wondered if anybody watched a single game of him playing in college at all, because Oklahoma State is going to put out the best quarterback stats in the country year in and year out, because they have an unbelievable offensive mind in Mike Gundy. But getting to the pros is a different deal. And I feel that way about Allen. But I will say this. I am curious to see if, again, he adds a little bit more running to his game. I felt like a genius in the first quarter when I looked at the stats and I saw that Allen had like 3 rushes for 15 yards. I'm like, wow, okay, this is happening exactly the way that I thought. We may have something here. And then he didn't run at all. But he did throw for a couple touchdowns. So, you know, give me a guy that can rush for, you know, maybe, you know, the Brandon Allen, the good comp for him would be Josh Allen, actually. I think that would be a pretty good comp.
Hey, that's pretty good. I think a lot of teams will take that.
And you know what? I'm curious to see if they get a good offense going for him. I don't think that this is a great spot for him in Denver, and I don't love Fangio, and I don't like the things that they're doing. But maybe in a scenario where they're losing so much that maybe he could be a possibility for sure. So,
yeah. It's a good name.
That would be one guy for me. Running backs. I have one name not on this list I want to throw in for this year and next year, too. I am surprised that you have Kerryon Johnson on this list, Joe. I think the Lions are going to be done with him after the season. I don't know. I don't know how they can go down this road again. This is 2 years in a row with significant injury.
And I think that's exactly why I'll take a shot, because even though they might be done with him, I don't know if I'm ready to be done with him. And I was not a Kerryon Johnson fan coming into this year.
Which is surprising to me. You see you about face on this.
My about face is always being able to, like you say, it's like the stock market. So right now his value is an all time low. If you buy on the low to a team where you're like, look, you know, he's no use to you the rest of the year. Give him to me. Let me be the reclamation guy. You go win a championship. Take this X wide receiver or X running back for me that I picked off the waiver wire or whatever. You might be able to make that deal happen. Or somebody's been frustrated for 2 years with Kerryon Johnson, not getting what they think, and they want to cut bait. And I think that's why you make that move. I think that's the reason why.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's over for him. I think the Lions are going to draft a guy in the third round next year, something like that, where they give him competition and everyone loves that guy, you know, going into
the season
as opposed to Johnson. Johnson will
but it doesn't mean
there.
Kerryon won't win the starting job anyway. And that's what I mean. I feel like there's so much negativity.
It could be a Gore Singletary situation and Johnson goes into the year and he's plodding around with these touchdowns and you're waiting. Or Jordan Howard's a better comp. Jordan Howard and Sanders and you're waiting, but Howard still does it. I like Kerryon Johnson. Detroit really.
He needs to be in a better offense that's suited to his skills. You know, he's good at catching the ball. But Joe, Jordan Howard never was.
They also mismanaged this situation.
100%.
They did not have a good option at all.
No. They mismanaged it, and they also, he's not a great fit for what they're doing. So it was kind of
Riddick
weird.
Is the guy that I thought that was good there.
No, not so much. Chase Edmonds is on this list too, because he had some bursts and some moments. But the rest of the year is kind of questionable now in 2019.
Yeah,
so
I'm not sure what the future is with him.
I think he showed enough that he's going to have a future somewhere in 2020, no matter what it is. So there's a lot of reason to buy low on him in again, keeper format. Mm-hmm. Alexander Mattison, obviously.
Oh, love his name. Yeah,
who knows? Yeah. You know, because right now we're in week 10 and Dalvin Cook's still a freight train. And Mattison's great and all, but I think the further we get, Craig, from the Dalvin Cook is always hurt narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The easier it is to buy Alexander Mattison. And who knows if Dalvin Cook holds out next year?
Yeah, I love Madison. I think that there's somewhere for this kid to play, and he's going to be good somewhere, whether it's with Minnesota or somewhere else. I want to throw another name in, and I mentioned it, I think, last week, maybe. I don't know if it was with you or with Jamie. I forget. But I am
the other host behind my back.
I am going to throw a dart, a way under the radar dart, and I am going to advise everyone picks up this kid, Brian Hill, on Atlanta. I think the Falcons in the last five games are going to dump Freeman. I don't think they're going to play him at all. And I think that they know the future is finished with him. There's no point. He had a massive fumble that cost them the game. He's had a very good career. No doubt about it. He'll end up maybe in Detroit next year. That's a good spot for him. But Joe, this kid Hill has got some speed. I could see him getting 15 carries a game. And I am telling you there that this kid, I may be completely off, but I want to add him in every league, and I want to see if Atlanta commits to giving this kid 20 touches, man. Like, he has got some speed, and yeah, he looked better than Freeman. So, and he's unowned in every fantasy league. And
well, yeah, that's why he's not even a trade. He's just a sneaky little pickup right now.
Think about how can you have any faith at all?
If you're out of it and you're holding older players on your roster right now, what do you have to lose by picking up a guy like Hill? You have nothing to lose.
And by the way, do you think Atlanta's committing to Freeman in the last five games of the year when they're 2-10? I think that they're going to try and see what they got for the future.
Probably not. I think we should hold the rest of these. We'll do one more running back maybe, and then hold the rest of these till tomorrow. A little tease. Should we do that?
Sure.
Because there's so many wide receivers to talk about. We're never going to get to them all. Okay. I got one more RB on my list. It's Philip Lindsay, who I don't think people realize right now is right in that RB1 group. He is. And I feel like nobody cares. I kind of look around. You look at the full point PPR and Freeman was there. Yeah, he's still there. Okay, great. But you know what? Lindsay is still being Lindsay for the most part. And I think there's a general negativity now that, believe it or not, Joe Flacco is not there, that everybody's just downgraded in their minds everything that the Broncos are capable of. And that might be true, but that doesn't mean they can't fix it next year. And it doesn't mean that Lindsay can't continue to be a decent play. And I think there's a lot of people who are a little worried about Lindsay anyway, from a size perspective. Yeah. So there's a lot of elements in there where I think Lindsay is a very usable player, a very good player, and a player that can be had in a deal.
Yeah, I just think you got the best at what you were going to get last year. It was out of nowhere. And again, this is the same GM, the same president in Elway that drafted Freeman. And I think you had to know that he was going to be a big part of it. I think he is a big part of it moving forward. I think Lindsay's better. But Freeman is a guy from this organization, and I see him hurting him moving forward as opposed to helping him. All right, coming up next, Waiver Wire Wednesday on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much in the month of December. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Yeah. Well, GTs are naturally occurring because it's raw and fully fermented for 30 days.
No, well, no kidding. Just talking about it makes me want to grab a Trilogy flavor right now.
When you drink a kombucha, it means you love your guts, because a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, better mood, improved skin, and just your overall health. I've been drinking GT's Gingerberry since the new year to introduce more good bacteria to my system. GT himself told me that kombucha is its most potent and beneficial on an empty stomach.
Man, do I love GT's. I usually drink it in the afternoon to give me a little pick-me-up and treat myself.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It's hump day.
Waiver Wire Wednesday.
And welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today on this Wednesday, 30 minutes away from turning it over to full-time fantasy. Big injury report in fantasy this week. Dr. Oda will be all over that. Craig and Joe with you here at about 1:30 here on the East Coast on Wednesdays. What we do is we take a look at the waiver wire in fantasy. And interestingly enough, the player who I talked about in the previous segment, nowhere on the radar, Brian Hill, running back from Atlanta. Just want to keep pounding that drum here a little bit. And let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks if Atlanta decides to just go with all the young kids, which is certainly a possibility. Other names, Joe, that I want to throw out there, Trey Edmonds of Pittsburgh, as it looks like Connor's going to be out again, and Edmonds looked like a better runner than Samuels, so he is somebody that I would add in all fantasy leagues. I guess J.D. McKissic is the guy in Detroit now at this point. I'm not really sure, but he's the passing option there, and the rushing options have been no good. Carson's on IR. Ty Johnson's not good. We know that. And then in Miami, Kalen Ballage is probably going to be the goal line guy, as he has been even with Drake playing a little bit. But Miles Gaskin, who was Washington's all-time leading rusher, I it's really amazing to me that he went, I think, in the seventh round. But he's, you know, kind of undersized and was more of a system running back. Kind of fits the Rashad Penny mold a little bit with Seattle. So it wasn't a huge surprise to me that Gaskin slipped in drafts, but I think that there is a little bit of talent there. It's just the problem is he's on Miami. And by the way, I don't think Gaskin or Kalen Ballage are part of the future, but I may take a flyer on Gaskin also. So Edmonds, McKissic, and Gaskin are the running backs to me, at least, that I would kick the tires on, and they're very low owned.
Yeah, I think McKissic you have to, especially because it might just be default by now. You know, we trade Carson out, and it's just...
Can we agree Ty Johnson's a nothing, right?
Oh, 100% nothing. And this is the thing that always scares me every year, waiver wire. It's the Kerwin... I like to call it the Kerwin Williams factor. Do you remember?
I remember him, in Arizona.
Okay,
yeah.
It's the Kerwin Williams factor, which sounds like a Big Bang Theory episode name, but it's the situation where automatically everybody overreacts to whoever the guy is on the depth chart, but they don't sit back long enough to go, okay... Yeah, that's the guy that's on the depth chart right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's the best fit for what they're going to do offensively. And I think that's part of it too. And the other part
is anything to do with it. I don't think this guy's good at all.
Well, here's the other thing: is how much you want to spend to find out that guy is really going to take over. And there's a reason why guys are the number twos. There's a reason why guys are three on the depth chart. Okay,
it's my all-time favorite from the last 10 years. Kerwin's a great name. But I've mentioned him before on the show, but I'll mention it again. Christian Michael is the one name that I always...
Christian Michael, dude, that guy was...
He's going to be a star every year for five years, Joe. Yep. 5 years on Seattle, on Dallas. It was like, oh, it's happening.
I think he's playing in the XFL, by the way.
He's going to be great.
I know. I can add him right now in the XFL, everybody.
he was the guy every year that you thought Lynch is going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. And it just never did. Actually, Michael did have like one or two good games in Dallas. Yeah.
Oh, and that just killed it because all those people who wanted to take the victory lap, who were the truthers for so many years.
They had him, and then they had the guy that got in all kinds of trouble and he's in jail. I forget the Dallas's running back name, but that I had him the year that he got in trouble.
Here's a general best practice note for everybody out there: spend money on guys who are having, like, early on, like DJ Shark. You see a guy who's a starter who's playing well, you go hard on that guy. That's what you go hard in bidding on. when guys get hurt and you're dealing with the backup situations, you're already at a deficit. They're backups for a reason, most likely, because nobody else wanted them as a starter. So the fact that they can just come in and all of a sudden create all of this fantasy buzz for you and carry you to a championship is a little bit of fool's gold. It doesn't happen that often. What happens is guys emerge as starters in preseason, have good games or whatever as starters. Those are guys you bid on, not the guy who's the default guy. I feel like the default Kerwin Williams bid or overbid is just a killer in seasons for people.
And by the way, the name that I was searching for, you gave me time to search it up. The guy that I drafted in 2015 as my RB2, six starts, 76 carries, 315 yards, four touchdowns. Pretty good. 10 catches, 86 yards on the Dallas Cowboys. Entered as the starter going into the season and then got arrested like 85 times in 3 days and never played again. Do you recall the name? I'll tell you. You'll remember.
The Dallas Cowboys, what year? 2015?
16.
2016. 2016 Dallas
right
Cowboys.
Before Elliott. Anyway, Joseph Randall. Remember Joseph
Randall? Oh, my God. Wow. Oh
Everyone
God.
Was super high on him. Remember?
Yeah, wow.
And then Holy McFadden crap. Took over that year. Yeah,
yeah, it's funny because I was going to say it can't be McFadden because I don't remember.
Joseph Randall was their guy, and I had him as my RB2. And then remember, this dude just got arrested over and over again, like for the dumb things and fighting police. I think he got suspended for his team. It's just a complete, like they thought there's something was wrong with him. I remember that. But anyway, story for another day. Let's help people for this year. Anybody else here okay. on the waiver wire?
So these are some guys here that are less than 50% owned in leagues that I think are worth taking a shot on for whatever reason. I know you're frustrated with Ronald Jones. I get it.
Yeah, but the fact good one week is, and bad the next. It's fine.
He's good one week and bad the next. So if you get him and you need him, you can plug him in there.
You get a zero and then the next week get a 10. That's it.
Yeah, but the good thing is at least Arians has come out recently and said, hey, Ronald Jones has deserved more work. Okay, well, that's a positive. So there's nothing. Look, I'm not saying any of these guys are going to change your season. But in terms of, hey, is this guy going to maybe change week 10 for you? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think that you can't look past that right now. Devontae Parker, also a guy historically I hate, but he's 30% owned. And I think when you look at it, Devontae Parker's a guy where you go, you know what? Fitzpatrick's been able to move the football a little bit. He's got a lot of targets the last couple games. Why not? Especially in full point PPR. I think Devontae Parker right now is, dare I say these words, a lock for double digit points.
Ugh. Well, I mean, the reason for that is you illustrated some of them, but the main reason is because Preston Williams out for the year. I mean, that's
Williams out for the year. Plus, on top of that, they're throwing the football more. They're a little bit more capable in that. And look, it's been working for him. Darius Geis, this is a flyer. Okay. You can't have huge expectations for this.
Yeah. I don't know on this one. I'm not sure.
I don't know either, but I know at 32%, and I know with the attrition we've had at running back this year, you have to look somewhere. And I think you do is you pick him up and you see. And look, you're not in a situation where you're picking up and trading him now. You're picking up and seeing what's going on.
Right.
A guy who's not on this list, too, is Kareem Hunt. But I've been talking about him for a while to pick him up and see what happens. Zach Pascal, another guy. It's more default. He's only 14% owned, which I think is weird. I would have thought that number was much, much higher. More like in the 30-40 range. But alas, it's not. No T.Y., no Jacoby Brissett, possibly. I think he's worth a look at the very least. Just, you know, like another guy who has good weeks and then disappears. I don't think I have confidence in him, but I feel like the tight ends have been underwhelming and Pascal's had some moments. The question is, cause he had them. Can he have them with Brian Hoyer? What do you think about Pascal?
Flex. I mean,
he's a PPR flex. I think that's it.
Flex. With Brissett, wide receiver 3. I don't trust Hoyer at all. I think a lot of picks are coming for him. I think that the Brissett injury derails their season. I think they got to get him back. Hoyer, we haven't seen in a while. So as you mentioned, that kind of makes him sexy because we haven't seen him in a while. That's a good point, especially from a quarterback, but I'm not in on him at all. I like Brissett a lot more. So yeah, that's definitely a factor for sure. Anyone else here before we close this out?
A couple other ones here. We got the Corey Davis. This is more of a matchup one for me. He's about 50% owned, but it's also he's playing the Chiefs this week. And the Chiefs have been known you can throw the football on the Chiefs this year. So I think you consider that. And now I understand it's been a little all over the place. You know, you got Tajay Sharp. You know, Davis had a great first game out of the gate. And all I kept thinking was, oh, my gosh, can we please make Corey Davis relevant every week? And of course, next week it was Tajay Sharp catching touchdowns. And that just pissed me right off. But it doesn't mean I'm going to abandon the concept altogether. And again, heavy bye week. You're looking for bodies with upside. Davis is a body with upside. Mm-hmm. Get this. Alexander Mattison in the cross section of leagues is only 30% owned right now. he's been dropped in a lot of leagues over these last bye weeks because people just, well, again, that narrative of getting further away from Cook injury.
If you have Cook, you have to have Madison. You're a moron if you don't.
I honestly don't disagree.
Like, that is the number one handcuff in all of fantasy.
Him and Murray were the only two guys I thought going into the season where these guys make sense because the guy gets hurt in front of them, they immediately become work. This is the only ones. Not the J.D. McKissicks of the world or the Trey Johnsons of the world. It's these guys that you know have ability, and they basically just have a better guy in front of them. That makes
sense. I also think that you have to, if you have, I know that he could be a nothing, and I don't know what he will be, but I think if you have McCaffrey, you also have to have Bonifant. You're just not going to get anyone on the waiver wire, and you're better off handcuffing him. Again, I don't know anything about Bonifant. I saw him play that one game. He played great. He played at the end of the game last week. He didn't do anything, but they were just trying to run the clock out. But in one league where I have McCaffrey, me and my partner, we have Bonifant, and I'm just like, we're just holding him. I don't care. Like, there's no one on the wire that's going to do better if McCaffrey goes out than Bonifant. Then
are you going to pick up Hill in that league?
Yes,
for Bonifant.
No,
all right, not for Bonifant. Okay, no. AJ Brown is the same logic as Corey Davis. Good matchup this week. Maybe get lucky, get a touchdown.
Yeah, Tannehill is looking at him more. I've noticed.
Tannehill is, especially in the red zone, he's a guy that gets a lot of looks there.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that in mind, AJ Brown is another plug and play kind of guy, only 17% owned. I was disappointed last week in Deontay Johnson, but I'm not going to be off altogether. I gave you more guys this week because it's such a heavy buy with guys out, and they are playing the Rams. And again, you can throw the ball on the Rams here. So there's another shot there for him. And the last one is Kalen Ballage, who you talked about too. Kalen Ballage is 10% owned, which is
yeah, but he stinks.
He does stink, but now.
If you want a touchdown heavy guy, I think this is also a good week to fire up your old Cole Beasley and Tates, like in those formats, the PPR formats. You get yourself 10 points and just be done with it. I think that's good option there. And instead of trying to
take the points,
hit the home run for sure.
Leave the gun, take the cannolis, take the points. Sure. That's what you do.
Okay, real quick, we'll really hit on this coming up tomorrow, Joe. But I think that we are both going to take an L on the Thursday night NFL game. Do you know why I say that? Last week, unfortunately, you fell flat there on Thursday night.
Yes,
you won Monday night.
The streak is over.
But I think we're both going to take the L tomorrow night.
Really?
Because there's no way I could take the Chargers, and the Raiders are at home getting a point. I mean, we're both going to love the Raiders tomorrow, and we are going to lose. I just have a bad feeling about this.
Spoiler alert, you're right. I think you're right. I think we are both going to love him. And we're going
to lose.
The fact that they did give Melvin Gordon as many touches as they did, and they won the football game, one would hope that somebody goes, hey, this is a good idea. We should keep doing this. Let's continue to move forward with actually using our best players touching the football. Now, I don't know. But the other thing is, the other factor in that is Russell Wokong, the tackle, was back. Mm-hmm. And that made a big difference. Yep. Huge difference in the run game there.
All right, coming up next, Joe and I are doing this pitcher list mock baseball draft. And I'm a few rounds in, and so is Joe. We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat, folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia with you. Fantasy football is, of course, in full swing. Joe and I will break down the Thursday night game between the Chargers and Raiders. That's coming up tomorrow night. We got college football as well. And those of you who follow the other sports, make sure you listen to Sports Grid. Watch Sports Grid all day long. We give you some great options, both in fantasy and betting as well. And the baseball season is still months away, but Nick over at Pitcher List decided to put together some of the experts, or at least hosts in the industry, and do a little bit of some mock drafting. And so before we get into the results, I would ask you this, Joe. And again, I don't like to throw people under the bus and do all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to slow drafts, there are definitely times for me that I will miss my window when there's no limit, basically. Like it could be 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, whatever. But I gotta say that man, this one has been painfully long. Like we are sometimes waiting 8 to 10 hours for somebody to make one pick, and we're only in the fourth round, man. Like not even finished with the fourth round. And so I don't know what the etiquette is here, honestly. I feel like saying something like, can we get going? But I don't want to be that guy that bitches about it taking so long. Because, again, when you join, the rules are there's no time limit.
In this one, yeah.
But I feel like I feel like every slow draft, in thinking back on it, should have like an 8 hour time limit. Like I will
argue four.
I mean, eight at the longest. And we're basically since 8 o'clock last night, we've had three picks.
Well, I can tell you we are in just starting almost round eight. That's where we see. We are twice as far. We started at the same time. We're double up. Man. We have a little Twitter group where people are making snarky comments and then hitting each other over the head when it's their time to pick and making fun of them until they pick. So shame is a very, very useful tool in slow drafts. Don't discount how effective shame can be.
So should I do that? Is it acceptable?
It's acceptable in our little group. I don't know if you've got
no one said a word. We're just sitting there and
now we got a Twitter group and everybody already agreed. Hey, if it's my turn, hit me up because it's where, you know, you should also get the email notification. Not all of us are as tech savvy. Some people. And I know also we're doing this thing on Clicky Draft, which is something I've never used before.
Yeah, that's my first time too.
Yeah. I don't mind it. It's a little much for people like me who have trouble seeing color. So like, if you can imagine like some of the whole things when you sort by position, there's a couple where I literally can't read them because I'm that kid who couldn't do the, you know, when you have to look and see the number inside the dots at school. You know, remember that?
Right.
I'm a miserable failure there when it comes to that. So
you have a lot more. You have a lot more on your team than I do on mine. So why don't you go ahead and tell me who you got?
Well, I had the number one overall pick, and I just went with Trout just because. And as much as I love Acuna and the stolen bases and all that stuff,
easy choice.
Sure. I'm still going to go with Trout number one.
No problem.
I got no issue with that. The rest of the first round, I can kind of rattle off real fast. See if you see anything out of line.
I can look at mine and tell you if it was any different. Sure.
All right. Let's see how different. First five picks went like this: Trout, Acuna, Yelich, Betts, Cody Bellinger. I think pretty standard five. Same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same exact order, too?
Exact order, except for one and two.
Except for, so Acuna went one. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next five picks were Trevor Story, Trey Turner, Gerrit Cole, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto.
Okay. I have Trey Turner, Lindor, okay, Arenado, Story, Bregman. And then,
so, okay, basically, okay. And my last two here, Drew Silva took Nolan Arenado and Gray Albert. I took Alex Bregman. So 11, 12, there's your feels basically right, the same usual suspects. So that was the first round. So,
okay, yeah, no, about
anybody
the same
at 11, 12. Who's your 11, 12 there? Anybody?
Soto and Cole.
Okay. So basically, same 12 guys, different order. Boom.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So there you go. So there you have it. So, so much for things being all over the place, but whatever. Making its way back.
It's
so
November for an April. Right.
So I'm on the turn the other side. And then this is a little unique because there's no corner infield, no middle infield,
right,
but there's and only three outfielders and two utility slots, which I actually kind of like this. It's also one catcher, which God, please, for the love of God, save me from two catcher formats. It's the dumbest thing ever. Can we please just really bury that forever?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And no, you are Mr. Baseball
at all. I mean, I just,
oh, these I mean, people I mean, this hanging is on not, to the past it, of the two catcher format.
It's not reality. It's fantasy. And you want to make it competitive and you shouldn't have to struggle for that. It just, it doesn't,
it's just
make
a waste. Sense. Yeah. And there's no win.
NL only an AL format.
Oh my God. Shoot me. Just kill me now. I mean, yeah, really, yeah, two catchers. So stupid. So, anyway,
who else?
All right. There? So Mike Trout for me, number one, second, third in the loop there. Cause I'm at the one pick. I took Altuve and Rafael Devers, which I felt very good about those guys. High average.
Went to the same spot.
Interesting. Okay. So basically I feel good about those guys. Give me power, give me batting average, give me run scored, give me RBI, they give me everything. Yeah. I'm always the guy that kind of fade steals a little bit. So where were you at? What were your first three picks? And you were down at the bottom, I believe, right?
I had 10? 8, 9, 10, 11. I had 8.
You're number 8. Okay.
So I had Arenado in the first.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Martinez in the second.
Excellent.
There you go. I got the buzz right there.
Yeah, look at you.
Fernando Tatis in the third. And then Strasburg in the fourth. That's the way that I went there.
So you wait till fourth for pitching, as did I. And my first pitcher was Patrick Corbin. And then the fifth round, I took Gleyber Torres, which I was a little surprised that Torres lasted all the way to the fifth.
He went in the third in this one.
There was an amazing fourth round pitcher run, which it was Blake Snell. Don't ask me how he went ahead of Flaherty. I don't quite understand that.
Snell went in the second round in this one.
I don't understand what's going on there. Snell, Flaherty, Clevinger, Sale, Luis Castillo, Clayton Kershaw, then Rizzo, then I took Corbin. So a huge pitcher run in the fourth. So clearly that's an early takeaway here is the fourth round is going to be a very heavy pitcher round because okay, some people will yeah, load up.
Yeah, Flaherty and, went in mine and Strasburg, yeah, Kershaw, and Severino. No Corbin yet.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like people didn't pay attention to how good Corbin was last year. Great. Corbin was excellent.
Yep, he was great.
And he's the value. Basically, you take the name away, look at the stats, put Corbin up against any of these other guys, and he's in that SP1 discussion absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah,
so I'm all good there. Like I said, I'm surprised there. I thought about doubling up there in pitchers with Charlie Morton, but I couldn't pass on Gleyber Torres. And yet I already had an Altuve. But I don't know about you, Craig. I'm of the mind. I always liked you in the first 5-6 rounds. Just take the best talent I can and I'll figure it out later.
Yeah, I also look at ADP slippers at that point and see, oh, why is this guy still available? And what am I missing? You know, that's part mm-hmm, of it too.
Victor Robles of note, he went after that in the fifth round, another guy that I think is going to be draft to draft very, you know, you could see him go as early as the fourth round and sometimes as late as the sixth, potentially, depending on what
you had him?
You're in. I did not get him.
Okay,
so I did not.
Let's talk about your picks.
All right. So it was Trout, Altuve, Devers, then Corbin, Torres. Jose Barrios is my number two. And
yeah, I don't know why Barrios isn't going higher. I don't know either. My draft too.
Well,
yeah,
he had a rough patch there in what, like August, right? But I feel like that cemented in people's minds. I don't know why, but all the rest of it looked great. And then so far, like I said, we're in the eighth round right now coming back to me. But I took Soler with the seventh because I'm of the mind this year, Craig, where you got to get as much power as you can. And anybody who hits 48 home runs has my attention in the seventh round.
That he was the big shock of last year. I mean, who had that one? So, I mean, we'll see.
You know what I'm pissed about, dude?
But if he hits 35, you're still thrilled.
Four straight years. I'm out there talking Solaire tokens. The last year I was out. I'm done. I was like, I can't do this anymore to myself. I am out on Solaire. I'm going to have zero shares. I'm so sick of that guy disappointing me. I see all the talent and I just screw him. And what does he do? He hits 48 home runs. Unbelievable, dude. And in the seventh round, do you think that kills you? Like if you take a shot there?
No. But, you know, obviously your expectation is 35 or 40 home runs. I mean, you have to take them down a notch. You can't expect that.
35. Again. I'd love 35. Yeah, I'm drafting him hoping for 30 something. Like,
you know who I'm surprised hasn't gone yet? And listen, some of it's my own fault, but I took Arenado early. And as you mentioned, there's no corners. That why does nobody believe that Suarez could do what he did last year?
Oh, I do. I am very pro Eugenio Suarez. Very, very pro.
Where did you go in yours?
Suarez.
Light blue. Hmm.
Yes, thank you. He went in the fifth round.
Yeah, okay. So that feels about right. But
that feels about right. He went right around Nelson Cruz. I had a chance at him. I could have taken him, but I already had Devers. So I'd
rather have Suarez or Chris Bryant.
Did you say Torres or Suarez?
Suarez.
Suarez or Chris Bryant. I'd rather have Suarez for the bigger power right now. I think his power is...
How about Machado or Suarez?
That's a tough one. I mean...
Yeah, I just don't know why he's going after those guys.
Well, it's funny. In this draft, Suarez went ahead of both those. Suarez went in the fifth, and then Machado and Bryant went back-to-back there in the sixth round on the loop. But I'll tell you what. You know, it's funny. The seventh round, would you take any of these guys over Solaire? Let's go a little,
okay, sure.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Carlos Correa, would you have taken him over Solaire?
Another risk. In this league, no. In leagues where I had to put together middle infield and shortstop, maybe.
Agreed. Okay, that's why I passed. Gary Sanchez. I'm not one for catcher, so
no. Real Muto's the only one that I.
Okay, do. Tyler Glasnow, Luis Severino.
Man, Severino went in the fourth round, Joe.
Oh, seventh year in mine. Crazy, crazy difference.
I don't know, man. I have to dive in more.
Then you got the big relievers.
You know, Josh. It depends on how my team is being constructed, but none of the names that you've given me are.
All right.
Are
Let's see these last couple here. Josh Hader.
Definitely not.
Kirby Yates.
Definitely.
Marcus Semien.
Maybe.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
No. Mm-mm.
I see. You and I are friends because of things like this. Hyunjun Ryu.
Definitely not.
Okay, and Chris Paddock, who I really like,
maybe,
but
maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm going to take a shot, I'll take a Semien shot on the guy with the power. Semien could
be the next emerging star in baseball. I think Semien really put it together last year, and I'm not doubting him. Like, that's a name that I may have taken because he's going to give you, you know, potentially only 10 to 15 home runs less than Solaire, and he gives you a lot of other stuff that Solaire doesn't. But so again, you know,
what's the Mish team again? Run down for me. It was Arenado.
I'm not a team here because I'm not having done anything.
Well, maybe by tomorrow we'll have more to talk about.
I got. Hold on, sorry. Arenado, Martinez, Tatis, right. And Strasburg.
Yeah, that's a great core. I mean, gosh, Strasburg kind of lasted long. Strasburg in the fourth.
Well, I was gonna take Flaherty. You know, but he went right before me. And then Jeff Erickson took an interesting name. Where did Austin Meadows go in your league?
Let me pull that up. Let's see.
Jeff took him in the fourth. That was early, I thought. Maybe not.
Let's see.
Is that where he should be going? It's the orange.
Yes. Who am I looking for? Austin Meadows went in the fourth round.
Okay, so no. So he was spot on with that then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pete Alonso went in the fourth round too, which
he went in
the
fourth too. Here.
Yep. Yeah. In the first mock that I did with the Fantrax guys too, I got him in the fourth round. I think remember when we talked about that one? I started that one like just power, power, power. I think I had like 200 home runs before I left the fourth round. And I just believe there's two things you need. You need home runs and you need pitcher strikeouts.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
those are your two most valuable assets, I think, going into fantasy.
You gotta be nuts. I mean, come on. The people just do not learn their lesson with these closers. It's just
the closer thing, forget it, man. I might just, Kirby you know.
Yates. I mean, come on. Well, who's to say Kirby Yates is not Trinan of last year? Come
well, how can you also take Kirby Yates with Semien on the board or Vlad Guerrero on the board? Yeah. Or even to be honest, even guys like Jose Abreu on the board. Even guys like, when you look at some of the names out here. Matt Olson, Josh Bell, even if you want to go in the Jorge Polanco, Tim Anderson pile.
You don't have to convince me that. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Exit velocity is what we used to do. Now it is called the 2-minute drill. If you've missed our shows this week, 2-minute drill is next. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Craig Mish back along with Joe Pisapia. Full-time fantasy is coming up next. Before we get out of here, we end the show with a little two-minute drill.
The two-minute warning.
2 minutes, get your sh** together.
Is that going to be enough time?
And yes, with 2 minutes to go in this show, it only takes 2 minutes to sign up for Netflix. Yes, I am big on Netflix. I'm sorry to tell you guys that my days of watching live TV and television shows are almost over. In fact, 9 times out of 10, when I turn on the TV, it's automatically on Netflix. And so I can certainly understand why moviegoers are upset and the people who made the movie The Irishman potentially are upset for the amount of money that they're not going to make by having it in theaters. But trust me when I tell you, Netflix is definitely the way to go. And if The Irishman lives up to the billing that I see in these ratings, this could be the biggest movie in the history of Netflix, of course, that comes out on November the 28th. I want to thank Craig DeFrancia for coming on the show and talking about that, as well as some Giants football, some betting, and some of the other things he discussed on the show. You could go back and listen on demand anytime you want, 24/7, and listen to his interview. For my co-host, Joe Pisapia, and our producer, Sean Guastamacchia, I am Craig Mish. Full-time fantasy is coming up next. We've got the NFL back tomorrow night. Joe and I will have a preview of that. Also, the wrong team favorite in the NFL. You guys know how we do it. Tomorrow at noon, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
At CarMax, we're pretty flexible with how you can buy a car. If you'd rather scroll through 50,000 cars instead of walking the lot, go for it. If you want to see how a car smells on the lot before you buy it, by all means. Hey, we all have our things. Want the whole thing to come to you without ever leaving home? Buy online. Compare how the speakers sound when playing your favorite mix? Yep, visit our lot. And if you want to browse a little on the lot and in select markets have it delivered at home, we're certainly not stopping you. CarMax, the way it should be.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.